2 chapter 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let's pray. Father, we're in need of you tonight. I pray that you'll guide us and direct us. Help our thoughts to be your thoughts, our words to be your words. Clarity of thought and speech. That I'll be an empty riverbed, you be the river. Empty clay pot, you be the treasure. And let me be a vessel. Help us as we look at the truth of contending for the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose the reason that the songs that we sang tonight were so militarily thoughtful, faith is the victory, the fight is on, he is able to deliver, because of this verse, Jude chapter 3. Beloved, the first thing that I want us to note is that Jude writes to the beloved. Interesting enough that this word beloved is the Greek word agapetos. And if you recall, I think last Wednesday, or maybe a week ago, I just don't remember from time to time, but we talked about the word agape. The word agape is love. The word agape is a God love. Only Christians can have and experience agape love. An unsaved person can experience agape love once they trust Christ to be their Savior, but only a believer can express agape love. And so when Jude is writing to the beloved, it is easily understood and translated Christians, to the brethren, to the beloved, to those that have experienced the agape love of Christ and those that can express the agape love of Christ. And so it is written here to the believers. It is written to the saints, the beloved. And so that's who Jude is writing to. But I want to focus now on why he writes. What's the purpose? I found this interesting after doing some reading and studying and listening to or watching or reading commentary. I noticed that Jude says something interesting. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. So the point is why he writes. And I want to take that point and I want to dissect it to what he wants to write and what he is going to write. Did you ever notice that sometimes there are things that you want to do and then there's things that God wants you to do? There are things that you want to say and there are things that God wants you to say. There are times that you have written out a really good Facebook post in response to something and God tells you to delete it, right? Because there are times that you and I want to do something and then God wants us to do something else. No difference in the case here with Jude. Jude says, I give it all. I wanted really badly to write unto you about the common salvation. This was my desire. Jude wanted to write a letter. Jude wanted to write a letter to Christians. Jude had every intention, every purpose, every desire to write a letter to the believers about the common salvation. Sometimes we preachers get in the same dilemma. I want to preach this message on Sunday. And God says, I don't want you to preach that message on Sunday. Or God says, I want you to preach this message today. And I'm like, I don't want to preach that message today. You go on the mission field and you know what the worst thing about not having any messages is? What's worse than not having many messages is having way too many messages. Now I have 10 messages that I've got to choose from, and I got one time slot to choose to preach it. And so now I'm dependent upon the Lord. And a lot of times I want to preach the message that I like, the one that makes me sound smart, the one that makes me sound good, the one that makes me interesting, the one that makes me want to be heard by everybody, the one that has the really good illustrations and the nice stories. You know, everybody's on the edge of their seat when I'm telling a story. when I'm preaching the word, but when I'm telling a story. And God says, no, I want you to preach this message. That's happened to me quite a many times. I've had ideas to preach messages before on a Saturday, and God changed everything Saturday night. Well, Jude is having the same kind of dilemma. Here's what I want to write. I want to write to you about the common salvation. What is the common salvation? Well, it's pretty simple, really. He wants to write about the salvation that is common to the Jews and the Gentiles. The one that was written to all Christians. The meaning is that he didn't think of writing on any subject pertaining to a particular class or party, but on some subject in which all who were Christians had a common interest. I believe, like John Phillips, that Jude had a desire to write a gospel. What is the common salvation? The common salvation is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jude wanted to write a gospel. I mean, there had already been three written. There was Matthew, that had been written. There was Mark, that had been written. And then there was Luke, that had been written. Jude was like, wouldn't a fourth gospel be great? And God's like, yeah, it would be. And wouldn't it be really great if I wrote it? And God said, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. Jude wanted to write the fourth gospel. Now, I use my imagination a little bit, knowing that Jude is the half-brother of Jesus, probably the youngest half-brother of Jesus. Jude could have written a really neat gospel. Maybe Jude could have gone way back into time in Jesus' earlier days, and maybe he could have talked about Jesus growing up at home. I mean, I think we would all be interested in finding out what Jesus was like when he was a child. I think that would be a neat thing to find out what Jesus was like growing up. What kind of a brother was he? How did he act towards his parents? What kind of a student was he in school? What kind of person was he when he was walking into the village towns? When all the other guys were throwing eggs and stuff, what was Jesus doing? We kind of know how Jesus probably responded, but wouldn't it be nice to have an eyewitness account of the early life of Christ? But God said, no, I'm not going to let you write that, Jude. Jude, you're not going to be able to write a gospel. I'm going to have somebody else write a gospel. His name's going to be John, the Beloved. An eyewitness of the accounts of the death, burial, and resurrection of me. And John would write the book of Revelation, which would come down the pike. And the book of John, the gospel, was also written by the Beloved. See, you have Jude. He had a desire to write the common salvation. He had a desire to possibly write a gospel, but no. God had other intentions for Jude, and so what was Jude going to write about? Although he wanted to write possibly another gospel, what he says, it was more needful. It says, it was needful for me to write unto you. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you a common salvation, it was needful for me to write something else. Number one, it was needful because God said so. Let's not ever get that out of whack. God is the one that wrote the book of Jude, and Jude just happened to be the servant that God used. But it was needful for Jude to be a tool to write a simple, common, short book. I mean, the book's only 25 verses long. But yet he writes. And the first thing that he says is he says, I'm to write unto you that you and I should earnestly contend. The word or phrase is only used here, but it is one of those words used by the sacred writers which have allusions to the Grecian games. This word, it means to contend upon or contend for or contend about anything, and would be applicable to the earnest effort put forth in those games to obtain the prize. Basically put, it's about exhorting effort to win. I don't know exactly what's going to happen on Tuesday, but you have to admire the effort of the President of the United States to win again. I mean, the guy, I mean, whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, that's not the point. Here's a guy that's 60-some years old, 74 years of age, holding three or four rallies a day, every day, talking to a million people in person in 2 weeks' time. That's a schedule that a 45-year-old can't keep, let alone a 76-year-old. Why is he doing it? Because somebody in his life, when he was a little kid, instilled in him that you have to work for what you want. Whether he wins or loses, you got to admire the effort that he's putting forth. It's like watching a football game. I love football. I love it probably too much. I love football. And you know, what's fun is to watch these games that you have. I remember a few years ago there was a bowl game. And I think it was against Boise State in Oklahoma. And I was watching this game, and Oklahoma was the big mighty dogs, and Boise State was this little old school that nobody knew. And Oklahoma was going to crush them. And lo and behold, Boise State was in the game. And I was rooting for Boise State because I didn't have a dog in the fight, and I was rooting for the underdog, the little guy that was contending or putting forth great effort to beat this giant behemoth of a school. And I remember the last play, it was supposed to be a field goal, but it was a trick play. He pitches the ball behind his back. They go for a two-point conversion. They win the game. Pandemonium. I thought, that was the greatest play ever. I still remember it. And that was like almost a decade ago. Why? Because here's this little school that nobody thought they could win, and they went out and contended. Everybody likes someone that works hard. You admire someone that puts forth effort. And that is what Jude is telling us as believers. I want to write to you about the gospel. I would love to talk to you about my brother Jesus. I would love to tell you about his death, burial, and resurrection. I would love to talk about the common faith, the faith that the Jews have and the faith that the Gentiles had, both in Jesus Christ. I would love to talk about that easy topic, but I'm not. Here's what I need to talk to you about. You need to earnestly contend. You need to fight. Earnestly contend, not over a ball, not over a prize, not over some wreath like a Grecian game. No, we're striving or fighting for not for material things, but we're fighting for spiritual things. Specifically, we're contending for the faith, he says. Earnestly contend for the faith, the truth taught by Christ, the fundamentals of your faith. Do you know what the fundamentals of your faith are? If you don't know what the fundamentals of your faith are, it's pretty hard to fight for them, isn't it? Do you know what they are? Let me give you the three that you need to earnestly contend for. Number one, you and I need to earnestly contend. We need to not be on the run, but be on the offense when it comes to the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. We are to defend and declare, contend for the truth that Jesus Christ, who is God, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on earth without sin to prove and show that he is God, died for the sins of mankind. All of mankind. Not just some, but all. And friend, we need to defend that truth. You and I need to defend the truth that Jesus died for all of mankind's sin. Do you truly believe that? When somebody wants to, oh, well, I don't believe that he died for everybody. He died for everybody, and that is a statement that we need to contend for. He is God, and he did die. He took our place. He was our substitute. He was reviled and reproached. He was the one that took upon us our sins. He who was innocent died for us, the guilty. We need to contend for that. The other thing that you and I need to contend for is the Word of God. This right here, the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It is your lifeline. It is your and my. It's our map. It's our instruction. It is how we know who God is and what He did for it. I don't like people messing with the Bible. It's sacred. It's sacred to me. It should be cherished. It should be read. It should be preached. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If there ever arises a preacher that doesn't preach the Word of God here at Victory Baptist Church, you need to run him out of town. It is your responsibility. If I ever start preaching away from the Word of God, or the next pastor starts preaching away from the Word of God, you're to run that guy out of town. You need to contend for the faith, the Word of God. Listen, you wouldn't know who Jesus was if it wasn't for the Bible. You wouldn't know who God was if it wasn't for the Bible. You wouldn't know that God loved you. You wouldn't know that God died for you. You wouldn't know anything about God. You would be like everybody that chooses not to believe in God, wondering, where did we come from? How did we get here? And what is our purpose? And yet the Bible tells us where we came from, how we got here, and what our purpose is. I mean, this is the sacred book, and friend, we need to contend for it. We need to fight for the Word of God. This is our guide. We need to defend it. But it would be hard to defend something that you don't read. So you need to read it. You need to hide it in your heart. Third thing that we need to contend for is our not only the substitutionary death, not only the Word of God, but the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he's still in the grave, he's not God. That did nothing for nobody except for kill a man called Jesus. That did nothing for anyone. But since Jesus is God and he did die, 3 days later, he got out of the grave. We believe that Jesus rose from the grave. We contend that Jesus rose from the grave. Death didn't keep him. The grave couldn't hold him. He took the keys of death and hell, and he is the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. No one can be saved without him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you call on him, you'll be saved. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And friend, you can't tiptoe around that subject with your family members. Well, there's many ways to get to heaven. No, there's one way to get to heaven. Well, I don't want for Thanksgiving dinner. I don't want them to be upset with me. Hey, they're going to be upset with you not at Thanksgiving dinner, but at the great white throne judgment of Christ if you don't tell them the truth. Would you rather be upset with you for all eternity or for your lifetime? Hey, friend, I do believe that when we have an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ, I don't think that we need to be ugly about it. I think that there is a way that you can speak it in love and compassion, and I think that you can do it respectfully, but I think it does need to be done. And friend, you and I need to contend for the faith. We need to contend for the faith. These are just three of the fundamentals that we need to contend for. The Word of God gives us other truths that we need to defend as well. It's in the Scriptures. But Jesus, the gospel, is to be defended and contended for. But finally, Jude tells us that we are to contend for the faith that was once delivered. You know what that means? It means it was once delivered. Jesus will not have to die again. Jesus doesn't die anymore. He lives. The Word of God won't be written again. It's been written once. It won't need to be written again. Jesus doesn't die again because Jesus lives. The Bible won't be written again because the Word of God lives. My friend, it was once and only once delivered. but it needs to be daily contended for. Especially in the world that we live in now. The world that takes the Word of God out of context. The men that were at the council meeting 4 years ago when, after 3 hours of people standing and defending the moral truths of Scripture, one city council member, thank God, got off the city council quickly afterwards. He recused himself. But he said this, "I'm an atheist. I don't even believe in God. But let me," here's what he said, "but let me read to you a passage of Scripture about your defense upon the homosexual stance." And then he gone and read that Jesus loves everybody and that everybody's accepted. Way out of context. Truth of the fact is, Jesus does love everybody. Truth is, Jesus loves everybody. Jesus hates sin. He doesn't love sin at all. He died for sin. But here's a guy that doesn't even believe in God that would be willing to take the Word of God out of context. But that's what the world does. The world takes the Bible out of context. Not to beat a dead horse, but how can we, as a humane society, kill babies? How can we, that are considered to be a loving nation, condone a moral lifestyle that is proven to cause great harm to people? Emotionally, mentally, it causes great harm. Anytime that, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, that the devil is using the corrupt liberal, whomever they may be, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, the corrupt liberal to bring about the idea that it's okay to murder babies, that it's okay for a man to marry, that it's okay that we corrupt anything the Scripture says. I'm waiting. There's going to come a time where they're going to decide that there's 8 days in a week instead of seven. Why? Because God declared that there's 7 days in a week. Why do we have 7 days? Because God declared 7 days. But the morals one day will decide that there's only 6 days or 8 days. They're going to decide because they are going, if God says yes, they will say no, no matter what it is. You came from creation. No, we came from monkeys. Marriage is between a man and a woman. No, marriage is between anybody that loves anything. It's wrong to murder babies. It's okay to murder babies. It's wrong to murder old people. It's okay to murder old people. It's wrong to steal. It's okay to steal. If God says white, they say black. And that's the way the devil's worked, and that's the way the devil always will work. And we just sit there and say, oh, well, I guess that's the way it is. Not if we contend for the faith. Hey, this is the reason that we sang the songs that we sang this evening, because this is a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. This is not playtime. This is fight time. And you and I as believers, we have to earnestly contend for the faith. Christ tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? So you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Friend, we're not to wait, we're to charge. We're not to hold back, we're to press on. We're to follow our captain. The Bible is once delivered. Again, I'll say this. The Word of God is hard to contend for. It's hard to love. It's hard to fight for. If it isn't read, if it isn't important to you. A lot of people have decided that they don't want to get into an argument about something for the simple fact that it's not important to them. I'll give them that. I usually don't argue about Pennsylvania state policies. Why? I don't live there. And the reason, and since I don't live there, I don't really have a dog in the fight, and you know, I hope that they do the right thing. But when it's personal to me, then I have a stake in it, and I want it to be right. You know, if the Word of God is not personal to you, if it is not cherished by you, you will not defend it. You just won't. Why? Because it doesn't matter. But if it is important to you, and if you do love it, and you do cherish it, you'll defend it. You'll defend its teachings, its doctrine, and the God who wrote it. Jude 3 tells us, I would much rather write a book about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's more needful for me to write this 25-verse book to tell you, you better contend for the faith. And friend, I don't know what's around the corner, but if there's ever a book that God wanted us to go through during this time of life, it's that you and I better learn to contend for the faith. It's important. Do you know Christ? If you don't know Christ, you should know him today. He loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so that he wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. If you'll put your faith and trust in him, he'll save you from your sin. If you are saved, how's your contending? How's your earnest contending? It's just not fighting. It's really fighting. It's just not trying. It's trying at all. It's trying at full speed with all your heart. You know, I think that we as believers need to learn to start contending for the faith again. How's your Bible reading? Do you read it? Does it matter to you? Do you know it? You know that you can know the Bible just as good as anybody that ever knew the Bible? All you got to do is study and read it. You say, well, I don't understand it. All you got to do is talk to the person who wrote it, and he'll make sure it's very clear to you what needs to be clear. It's the only book the author always travels with it wherever it goes. When a person tells me, I read the Bible, but I just don't understand it, you know what the first thing I think of, I don't know that they're saved then. If you can read the Bible and just never understand it, inside of you, you have the author that travels with it. If you really need to understand it, he'd explain it to you. And that's so true. I can read the same passage of Scripture a year from now and get something totally new from it because the author is always traveling with me. This is to be cherished. It's to be a light unto our feet. It's to be a lamp unto our path. It's our guide. It's our B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Cherish it. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to be what we need to be, that we will earnestly contend for the faith. Your stepbrother, through your Holy Spirit's inspiration, wrote a book to believers to tell us that we need to contend earnestly for the faith. And Father, I pray that we'll do so. None of us probably like confrontation. You tell us to live peaceably as much that lieth within us. But Father, when it comes to the fundamentals of the doctrines, when it comes to the fundamental faiths, you want us to do what's right. And I pray that you'll give us the courage, the wisdom, and the strength to do so in Jesus' name. Hey, if you're here this evening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I pray that you'll trust him before it's eternally too late. He loves you. He died for you. We'd love to help you with that this evening. But if you are saved, maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're not reading the Bible like you should. Maybe it's not something that you cherish like you used to. Or, you know, you do or you don't. You kind of do, you kind of don't. You read it every other day, maybe a couple times a week. You do have it. You do like it. but you don't cherish it. Maybe you just need to get it right with God tonight and say, God, you know, November the 1st is a marking point in my life that I'm going to learn this word and I'm going to contend for it. Maybe you've kind of gotten loose on your standards and convictions about the Holy Bible, about who God is.